Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope, all of us here in the room. Those of you joining us online, we're glad you're with us too. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using, I think, pretty much forever. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Now, I don't know what goes through your head when we do that little greeting. Maybe nothing. Maybe you're just zoning through it. I don't know. But for me, I'm reminded that the Lord really does meet us right here, right now. Right where we live, right with all the stuff we got going on, God meets us here. And man, I'm grateful for that. Can we bow our heads and pray to Him as we begin? Thank you, God, for meeting us here, for giving us the chance to sing to you and pray to you and to listen for your Spirit speaking through the Scriptures, to gather around the table of our Lord Jesus. God, it's my prayer that for every one of us participating in this service, that we would have a real sense of connecting with you. That we would have a sense that the God who made us is with us right here and that you love us. Help us, God, to bring all of our stuff to you today. All the stuff that weighs on us or that's just bubbling out in thanks and praise. God, help us to bring all of it to you today so that we can have a genuine connection with you. Thanks, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When the solid ground is falling down from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. And when I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I pictured slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When the test comes in and the doctor says I've only got a few months left, it's like a bitter pill I'm swallowing. I can barely take a breath. And when depression steals my baby girl and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust in you. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. You remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul.
Amen. Hopefully you were taking notes last week so that you know exactly how this goes and you can help us out.
I know the odds. trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. And I trust in God, my Savior. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Thank you, God. You never fail. Your unfailing love, your faithful love is with us every day of our lives. It's with us now. It's been with us this past week with all of its ups and downs, all the good and the bad and the in-between and the ugly. That's why we trust you, as we've just been singing. Because when we seek you, you hear us. And you answer. God, you know that for some of us, it feels like we've been seeking a long time. We've been crying out to you, and we haven't heard an answer. We're still waiting. God, today we just want to be honest about that. Let you know how frustrating that is when we go for so long feeling like our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. And God, I pray that today you would speak, that you would assure us that you do, in fact, hear our prayers. And God, we long for the ways that you will show up in response to them. For some of us, God, we've been seeing you at work all week long, and we're just thanking you and praising you today. We're so glad, God, and we've got lots of evidence in our personal story of ways that you have heard and answered our prayers. And for some of us, God, that's what's carrying us through today. We remember the ways you've been faithful in the past. And so even though you haven't answered yet, even though we're still crying out, even though we're still in the middle of that ugly part of the story, God, we have every confidence in you because you have proven yourself faithful time after time after time. Thank you, God. All the things going on in this world, oh, that worry us, that scare us, that thrill us, and all of that today, we bring it to you. Remind us, God, that you are with us today. Remind us that you know us. Every detail of our lives. What was it you said, Jesus, that not a sparrow falls from a tree, but that our Heavenly Father doesn't know? You numbered the hairs on our heads. You know us that well. Help us today, God, to know that not just as some intellectual exercise, but help us to know that at the core of our being, that the God of the universe, the God who keeps the planets and the stars spinning, who brings the beauty of the aurora and all the rest, God, that this God who oversees the entire world and all the millions and billions of human beings, that you know me, that you're with me in the good times and the bad, that you're with me today. Help each and every one of us have a real sense that the God of the universe is looking at us today with eyes of love, compassion, care. Maybe some challenge. Maybe there are some things you've been prodding us about that you need us to move on. And God, if that's the case, help us to see that you also are providing them the strength and the wisdom and the guidance to make those moves, to make those changes. You are faithful, God. That's why we trust you, because you've proven your love time and time again. Most clearly in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who conquered sin, death, and the devil by his death and resurrection, who shined his light into our darkness, who let us see just how much you love us. So it's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's take a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other. Shake somebody's hand. Wish them a happy Sunday or peace. All right. Hey, while the conversations are wrapping up in the room, just another quick hello to those of you joining us online. Hi, we're glad you're with us. If I haven't met you, my name's Rich Schmidt, one of the pastors here. And if you didn't get a chance, since you didn't get a chance, those of you watching online, to shake a hand or anything, leave us a comment. Let us know you're with us. And all of us, if you want to communicate something privately, you can either use the link on the screen, livinghope.info/connect, or you can grab, those of us in the room, one of those little green cards back there. Jot your note on it, drop it in the offering box. If you put your info on there and you've got a question, I can get a hold of you and answer it. And if you're giving today, you can drop that in the box too, or you can give online. All of that works. Be praying for Pastor Judy. She came down with something this week. She was going to share something as a part of this morning's message a little bit later, but she can't be around us right now without giving us stuff. So pray for her to get over that. And be praying too continue to pray for the family of Don Peters, and then also for the family of Monica, who passed away this past week as well. Yeah, these are both folks that we were mentioning last week. So some of you are waving at me. Pray for you. All right.
Me and Linda to get a plate.
All right. Yep, we will. Pray for Diane and Linda. We got to figure that. The board meeting happens Tuesday. We'll talk about that more. But were you flagging me down?
The former pastor's son
is in ICU right now. Your former pastor's son named Matthew is in ICU right now. Okay. All right. Yeah, no problem. Anybody else, something that you'd really love us to be praying for today?
Pray for John.
Okay, we'll pray for John. And Missy was flagging me down?
Yeah, I found one of my friends being married. She got married yesterday. It was worship with the sign of a wedding. It was
oh, cool. Very cool. Yeah, if you didn't hear, a friend got married, did you say yesterday?
Yes.
And worship was all part of it, and it was really cool.
Yeah, it was
That's awesome. That's awesome. The only couple of announcements I wanted to mention this morning. One is you can still give to the Habitat House if you'd like. If you want to help build it or donate to it, get a hold of Porter County Habitat at the link, I think, portercountyhabitat.org is in your bulletins. And then this Thursday night is a Joyful Noise worship service at 6:30 right here. If you want to join us, it would be a good time to worship God with some folks from other churches coming together. And right here, 6:30 this Thursday. I think that's all I needed to say something about, and I'm not seeing anybody waving at me saying like, oh, you forgot to say this. Okay. Let me pray for us real quick before we dive into the scriptures today. Thank you, God. Thank you again for meeting us where we live and today, all these needs, these concerns, the families, the situations, like Matthew in the ICU. God, we lift every one of these situations up to you, knowing that you're a God who cares, you're a God who loves us, you're a God who is with us. Thank you, God. Thank you. Speak to us through the scriptures, we pray. We don't want this just to be an empty little exercise. We don't want this to just be something we check off our list for the week. And I certainly don't want people just to hear what I have to say. God, it's our prayer each and every Sunday as we look at your word that we will hear your voice speaking to each one of us. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was praying, I realized that there was one thing I was hoping to read that I left in the printer in my office. Do I have a volunteer to go get that out of the... Oh, Missy's already running for it. Thanks. Thanks. So if you've got your notes today, we're in the midst of this series on mental health issues and how we deal with that. And I've been learning a lot as I've been going through all this. I thought I kind of understood some of these things. And then as I'm reading and listening, there is so much that I still have to learn. Especially, it was a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how we are so intricately put together, that God has made us so wonderfully complex. The way our minds and bodies and emotions and all of it fits together, and how one part tugs on another part, and how I was just hearing this last week about people who've gone through traumatic experiences, like people in war. We just had Veterans Day this past week. People who've been through it and struggled through it. How there are treatments that help them that seem almost magical. Simple, like, physical things you can do. Like, what is it, EMDR, is that what it's called? Where they have you move your eyes from side to side while you remember a painful past experience. And all of a sudden, instead of it being a present thing that you can't escape from, it shifts in our brain somehow to being a past horrible experience, but that is over, and that no longer dominates our thinking. It's crazy. Seems like magic. Like, how does moving my eyes side to side have anything to do with that? But something with the way our brains are made helps us to process things like that. The way that when people write about their traumatic experiences and like process them just by writing it down and the things they were feeling and the things that they experienced somehow takes some of the like the sharpness out of the knife, you know? It's wild how God has made us, and how these things all fit together. But what I wanted to focus on today is this aspect of where like Christian faith fits into all of this, and the idea that God really is with us in all these circumstances. Psalm 46, I was just reading on Friday. Yeah, sorry. My days are blurring together. On Friday at Don's funeral. Says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. It's this reminder that when times are hard, when it feels like life is overwhelming, when it feels like the earth is shaken, you know, like what I thought was my sure foundation has been swept to the side, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help. Now I say that, I read that, and for some of you, you're like, amen, that's true. I know that to be true. And for some of you, you're like, oh, I'm needing to feel it, you know, because I feel like my, you know, everything is swept to the side, and I'm not sure that God really is with us. The Psalms are such a beautiful section of scripture. You know, that was Psalm 46. You back up like four Psalms to Psalm 42, and the first part of it, I know well, because there was like somebody made a praise chorus out of it years ago. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. And I always just kind of thought, because it's a sweet little song, I always kind of thought, oh, that's nice. I want God. I want to be in his presence. It's a nice little thing. But then I keep reading, and I realize, oh, wait, this is a deer that, like, is thirsty and doesn't have anything to drink right now. You know, like, if you've ever felt that, you know, like, you're thirsty, you've been working, you've been sweating, and all of a sudden, maybe you're raking too many leaves, I don't know, and you're thirsty, and there's nothing to drink, and you remain thirsty, that is an uncomfortable situation to find yourself in. He says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? This is somebody writing from experience of like anguish, of emptiness, of feeling like God's not there for me right now. A couple verses later, he starts talking to himself. Says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? He's recognizing, yeah, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I mean, I know that God's there. I know, but I am. So he's telling himself, look, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He's saying, I know that God's there. I need to praise him, but there's this part of me that is just down, that just is disturbed. A few verses later, I say to God, my rock. So he's calling my rock. And you're like, you're my refuge. You're my rock. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Man, I just had one of you this morning as I was asking you how you're doing. Hey, how you doing this morning? And your answer was, I just kind of feel empty because of the grief of a lost friend this past week. This is human experience. Right after that says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And that's how it ends, with this acknowledgement that, man, there are times where I just have to tell myself, hey, soul, hey, self, come on, let's keep moving. Let's not stay in the dark valley. Let's keep moving. Let's keep going. Let's praise God even in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the grief. God is with us, but man, sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes there's a part of us that knows God's there and another part of us that wonders if it's all true. Well, the beautiful thing about Christian faith, the brand of, I mean, there's all kinds of faith out there, right? Belief in some kind of a higher power, belief in some kind of a God. Oh, I believe there's something out there. I'm not really sure what, you know, that kind of a thing. The beautiful thing about the Christian faith that we're a part of here in this church, this faith that centers on Jesus and what he taught and what he revealed to us about God, is that the Christian faith tells us that, no, God really is present with us, that he knows our experience. He knows even these moments of feeling downcast, feeling depressed, feeling empty. He knows this from the inside. God, he's not just like some God who's watching and saying, oh, the little human ants that I created down there seem sad. You know, no, he's a God who has entered into our experience and known it, like, in the flesh. We're coming up on this season of the year, just starting 2 weeks from now, the Advent season, the season that leads us to Christmas. Man, I got some presents I got to buy. We're headed to the season that reminds us that God is with us, right? I mean, that's like a theme of Advent every year. I just went ahead and jumped the gun, included a couple of those verses here in your notes. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, and they will call him, talking about Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's quoting the prophet Isaiah, saying this one that's going to come, they're going to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. They're going to look at Jesus and say, man, God is in the room. God is present here. There's power in his name, as we were singing a moment ago. John, at the beginning of his gospel, he calls Jesus the Word and says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. He knows the truth about us, right? He knows what we're going through. There's no reason for us to hide some part of us or some part of our experience from God or from ourselves. Sometimes we're hiding it from ourselves, right? And it takes us talking to somebody that helps us kind of realize, like, oh, wait, yeah, that's true. I never really dealt with that. At some trusted friend or therapist or someone. He knows the truth. And he gives us his grace. There's something I've been learning as I've been reading and listening, that for so many of us, when we're dealing with some kind of a mental health struggle, especially something that's really knocked us off our game, maybe it's the result of a traumatic experience in the past, maybe it's something that still haunts us today, all the sorts of things that we deal with so many times, man, it would be helped so dramatically if we had some trusted person that we could talk to about it. If we could just describe it to someone without fear of them judging us or rejecting us or shaming us. Because oftentimes these traumatic experiences that people have been through, they carry with them a good dose of shame, a good dose of self-blame, which is so sad. You've probably heard it, right? I've been listening to stories this past week of victims of sexual assault who were children at the time, who still feel like there's some part of themselves that think, oh, it was my fault. I did something to bring this on. Like, no, you were a kid. There was nothing you did to bring this on yourself. This was just wrong, done to you. But still, there's some little feeling, some little self-blame, self-loathing that attaches to us when people violate us in those kinds of ways. And it takes getting to a place where we're able to sit down with someone who knows what they're doing, who helps us in a safe environment to talk those things through, to get those things out. And it's been so much fun just listening to stories this past week. There's a book called The Body Keeps the Score that I was able to grab the audiobook of, because it's like 16 hours of an audiobook. I'm still making my way through it. I thought I'd be done before we started this series. I'm still making my way through it. And just listening this past week to stories of these people who are survivors of all kinds of traumatic experiences and the help that they were getting as they made their way through therapy. Some of that EMDR stuff I mentioned earlier, some other kinds of just awareness of their body stuff, all kinds of different things, tools that are in therapist tool belt that help people to process things in a way that they're truly finding like relief, freedom, things that have dogged them for decades that suddenly they're like, oh, okay, they've turned a corner. They found freedom. When God looks at us, sometimes then we feel like, okay, so God is condemning me. And we feel that sense of shame, like it attaches to something spiritual. And we think God is disappointed in me. God is ashamed of me. We feel this shame. We feel this guilt. And Jesus shows up, revealing God to us, full of grace and truth. He knows the truth about our circumstances. He knows the truth of what we've experienced, what has been done to us, and what we ourselves have done. That half the time, I'm going to speak out of ignorance if I say that. Coming out of Veterans Day, this is one of those things that Pastor Judy could speak to because she serves families of veterans all day long in her day job. But people struggling with PTSD, people struggling with the after effects of having been in war. Sometimes it's things done to them. Sometimes it's things that they had to do in war that haunt them. He knows the truth, and he gives us grace. Full of grace and truth. And he is with us. He's made his dwelling among us, become one of us. In the book of Hebrews, since they're talking to Hebrew people, Jewish people, the author uses the picture of their religious experience with the temple and having a high priest who goes to God on your behalf and says, well, Jesus is our high priest. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who's ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. I have to pause. I have this image of like holding on tight, holding firmly to this faith. I do believe that God loves me. I do believe that God's with me. I do believe that he understands, because there's other things trying to pull us off of that, right? That's some part of us, you know, that the psalmist was speaking to. Why are you so downcast? Why are you disturbed? other people. There's all kinds of things trying to pull us away from that faith. He's saying, look, since we have Jesus, we hold firmly to this faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Come on, Paul, that's a double negative. That's hard to understand. So he says, we have a high priest who can empathize with our weaknesses. That's what he's saying, right? We have a high priest who can empathize with our weaknesses. One who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. That word tempted can also be translated tested. And you might see that sometimes in different translations of the Bible. Sometimes it says tempted, sometimes it's translated tested. Jesus, he's basically saying Jesus has been through the ringer just like we go through the ringer. He's gone through it all and didn't sin, didn't turn from God, but kept himself turned toward God through every bit of it, trusted in God all the way through. He can empathize with our weaknesses, with our struggles, with our trauma. And so he says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the exact opposite of what we saw back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, right? Adam and Eve in the garden, they disobey God, they eat the fruit, look good to me, like, oh, this snake over here says it's good, okay, great, says I shouldn't trust God, I should, you know, it looks good, okay, uh-oh. All of a sudden, they look down, they're naked, they're hiding from God, they're hiding from each other. God shows up, they're pointing fingers at each other, blaming each other for their own failures. This is the exact opposite of that. Instead of hiding, instead of blaming, he already knows the truth, right? And so we can confidently come to him. We can approach God. When we've messed up, that's when we need mercy, right? Mercy is not getting what's coming to you, right? Mercy is when you deserve some consequences and you don't get them. You know, mercy is what, well, sometimes give to my boys, occasionally. Sorry, I use the word consequences and I can't help but think of them because that's a word I have to use frequently with them. Talk about the consequences of their actions and the consequences that are coming because they've done whatever they've done, you know. Mercy is when there are consequences for my actions and they're withheld. I don't get what's coming to me. The judge has been merciful. We may receive mercy and find grace. Grace is kind of God's goodness moving in the other direction. Instead of it being something negative that is withheld from me, something I deserved, some punishment that is withheld, grace is like this goodness of God that I don't deserve that's given. It's God showing up, being gracious, helping me. Well, man, I didn't deserve that help. I caused this problem myself, and here's God being merciful, being gracious, helping me through. Because he can empathize with our weaknesses. He knows it's hard. He knows the struggle. And because of Jesus, we can come with confidence to God, the God who made us, because we know that he loves us. And we can receive that mercy and find that grace. We can know that we're not alone. That's one of the things I've been hearing over and over again in the things I've been listening to, reading the past few weeks, is that for people to have a chance at healing from the trauma they've been through, from whatever, they've got to know that that person is safe. You know, they've got to know that this person's going to listen with a desire to understand me and cares for me. And man, I hope that that's what people experience when they show up at church, right? When they show up to a group of believers, people who are following Jesus, and they show up and they say, oh, I struggle. Oh, I got some problems. You know, when they're honest about what they're going through, I sure do hope that what they find is people who are encouraging and helpful instead of people who like say, I don't know. We want people with your kind of problems around here. I thank God that I'm pastor of this church because I see you over and over again doing what I hope the church does. I see you over and over again. I get to see it some on Sunday morning, sure, I guess, but it's a crowd, you know, and there's people coming and going. I don't see the interactions like I do on Wednesday night. on Wednesday nights when we have this little, it's just a small group of us, half dozen people that gather around tables in one of the classrooms over here, and we talk about the scriptures, we talk about what God's been doing in our lives, we share things we're thankful for, and we pray for each other at the end, and we have all sorts of folks walk in. And I see people receive such care and compassion. It's a beautiful thing. And that's where that kind of grace that we then can offer each other is where we can start to find healing, where we know, oh, these people can empathize. These people understand. It's like we talked about last week. God comforts us in our struggles so that we then can use that and be a comfort to others. God helps us through so then we can help others. The way the Apostle Peter put it in one of his letters in our New Testament, said each of you should use whatever gift you receive to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I love that picture. And you've probably heard me say it too many times in prayers I prayed, if I prayed with you one-on-one, that God's grace flows through people. God's grace flows through you into someone else's life. That we get to be stewards of God's grace. And it takes all sorts of different forms, right? God's grace shows up in one person's life just in that ability to care and to listen and to be there. Someone else's life, God's grace shows up in the expertise that they've developed in a certain field, in a certain, like a therapist or a counselor who is able then to help someone that, like in ways that I couldn't help them because they've developed an expertise. They understand more about how our brains and bodies work together and all of that. How different medications, like a psychiatrist, they know how different medications work or don't work. These are all different ways that God's grace shows up in our lives. I mentioned that Don Peter's funeral was this past Friday. And he did something really cool that I'm going to be talking to my parents about. He wrote an autobiography. Not a big book. It's just a little binder. It's like a dozen pages maybe. And he spent like 10 years putting together these dozen pages, right? It's all just typed up. And I think, I don't remember if it's Darlene or their daughter Dee who put them in like a little binder. And they had them there at the visitation and the funeral. People wanted to read it. And they had shared a copy of it with me. Man, it's just fun to hear his recollections of growing up and what he went through in elementary school and high school and off to college and Mary and Darlene and where God has taken him through life. And he really, he spends a lot more time in the first chapters. I think by the end, he's like, all right, I'm done. And it's like one page. It's like the how many years did he spend here in Valparaiso? 36 years. It's like one page. He wrote this page in 2016. And it was unusual that he'd stayed in one place for so long. And he says, the real storyline is how I've managed to stay happy in one place for so long. He says, I just want to read some of this to you. And I got permission from his wife and his daughter to share this. He said, I can't remember exact dates. I must have been around 45 years old that my best friend, Darlene, finally convinced me that I had some sort of mental illness. You can imagine this was extremely hard for me to swallow. You mean I'm nuts? But my life had hit such a low point. I was suffering from physical ailments so severe that I thought I was going to die. Excruciating panic attacks. So that I realized I had nothing left but to take a chance and talk to a trained psychiatrist. So I think we just picked a name out of the phone book and talks about who he saw. And, where did he go? I said, it only took him 2 or 3 meetings, along with blood and urine tests, to diagnose me as manic depressive. So today they use the polite term bipolar. Says bipolar people go from extreme highs to extreme lows because some of the connections in their brain don't function properly. So they're constantly in either a state of anxiety or a state of depression. Finally, someone had figured out why I was almost constantly looking for something better. I also learned that bipolarism, I don't know if that's the right word, anyway, is almost always inherited, but it's easily treated with the correct medicine. Once I got on the correct medicine, it was like someone turned on a bright light. And for the first time in years, I actually saw the world. My panic attacks stopped overnight. I couldn't believe it. I spent quite a bit of time trying to figure out who I had inherited it from, and he rules out some people, finally figures out, oh, it's my grandfather who died when I was 4, but Dad said they lived in 18 places by the time he was 18, and he was following all the same patterns that then I found myself following. He said, puzzle solved. I loved that part of his story Partly because of the way he described it. He was like, man, finally someone figured out what I was going through. You know, finally they had a label for it. They understood it. They're like, oh, yeah, sure. Let's try one of these medications once we find the right one. And they get the right one. And he's like, oh, this is what life's supposed to be like. You know, sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes that's all it takes. I was talking with Darlene on the phone about it yesterday, just making sure it was okay for me to share this. And yeah, she was talking about how, man, it had gotten to a really bad place. And so finally, she said, we both went to the psychiatrist, we both got tested, we both did all the tests and everything just to see what we were both dealing with. And she didn't want to push him to do something she wasn't going to do herself. And man, it was so hugely helpful. I feel like that was God's grace showing up in one way, through that psychiatrist, through that medication, helping to bring healing to his mind, to his body. I feel like I've got to read this the next short paragraph, because then he says, and finally, this is the end of his autobiography. It's a little bit of a sidebar from this morning's topic, but it says, and finally, the single most important event in my life happened during my 36 years here in Valpo. As I mentioned earlier, I was raised in a Christian home, but from the day I left home until 2 or 3 years ago, I completely turned my back on what I'd been taught, or at least I tried to. Then, maybe 3 years ago, I was surfing TV on a Sunday morning when I came across a religious program given by a Dr. Charles Stanley. I thought, what the heck, there's no football on yet, so I'll watch this guy for a few minutes. His teaching that Sunday was about what happens to you when you die. Well, I'm probably not the only person in the world who wonders about this, and he explained it so perfectly, in a way that was so easy to understand, I was hooked. Mom and I have watched him preach almost every Sunday since then, and we both become believers. The answer is so simple, and I always thought it was some extremely complicated deal, and the peace it brings is pure joy. So now I'll close my life story with one simple prayer that I pray for you each night, and he's praying this for his kids and grandkids, that someday, like me, you'll discover through your belief in the living Christ what your life is really about. Don lived a beautiful life, and I'm so glad that God brought him and Darlene to Living Hope along their journey, and I'm glad he's able to testify, even from beyond the grave, to the help that God provided to him. Sometimes it is through medication. Sometimes, as I was learning this last week, medication for some things, medication can help as long as you take it, but if you really want to get past it, you got to do some other kind of therapy, some kind of other kind of thing. But I'm not the expert in that kind of stuff. I'm just grateful to God that His grace takes on all the different forms that it does, that His healing comes to us in so many different ways, that the God who made us is with us and knows us and sees us through. I've been including this psalm at the end of each message, and this time I would like us to read it together. It's the 23rd Psalm. You've heard it before, at least the last 2 weeks, probably a thousand times before that if you've been following Jesus very long. And I think for some of us, we just need to have it sink in. We just need to, and I'm hoping that maybe saying it out loud will help you realize, okay, this is true for me too. Can we read this together? I think it'll be on the screen. It's in your notes. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That last bit is not just a reference to like an eternity spent with God in heaven, all right? That last bit is saying, like, look, all the days of my life, God, You will be there. You, Your goodness, Your love, You will be with me. Whether I'm going through the green pastures or whether I'm going through a dark valley, You will be good. You will love me. You will be with me and you will be present with me. I will dwell in your presence forever. That's what I want for each one of us, to live with that kind of confidence through all the ups and downs and difficulties of life. Let's bow our heads and let's pray to him before we celebrate communion together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you didn't keep your distance from us, especially as we disobeyed, as we decided we knew better than you did how this life that you gave us should be lived. Instead of keeping your distance, instead of just shouting words of frustration or disappointment from the sky, or you came to us. You entered into our broken humanity to show us what wholeness looks like and to bring that wholeness, that healing to us. You entered our darkness to shine your light. You helped us in the midst of our fear of God and hiding from God because of our disobedience and sin. You came so that we knew, so that we could know that we don't have to hide. That the God who made us, loves us, is seeking us out, is actively at work to draw us to yourself. So help us. Help us to do just that, to come to you, to approach your throne of grace with a confidence that comes from seeing your love displayed in Jesus Christ. To come to you and receive from you the mercy and the grace that we need. Thank you, God, for all the forms that grace takes, all the ways it shows up in our lives. You even use people who don't know anything about you to let your grace impact us. Thank you, God. Thank you for being at work in all circumstances for our good. Thank you for leading us, whether we're in the dark valley or in the green pastures. Thank you for being a good God who loves us each and every day of our lives. And thank you that we get to celebrate this love in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Joining together with Christians around the world, we offer to you these simple little gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body, in his blood. Jesus, we remember you gathered with your disciples and took bread, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup, said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." So today, Jesus, as we come to your table, we do remember you. And we thank you that you've given us this sacrament, this physical, touchable, tasteable way to know that you are present with us here and now in the reality that we live in. Just as real as the bread and the juice are as they hit our tongues, you are present with us, and your grace impacts even our physical being. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us. In good grief, as we think about ourselves, as we think about the what we've done with these lives you've given us, God, we've got a lot to confess. We've not always loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. God, I'm sure there are plenty of other things that right now you might be pointing out to us. Maybe there's something current in our lives that you want us to recognize as harmful, as sin, so that we can confess it, repent of it, get rid of it. We come to you today, again, because of Jesus, we come to you confident that today we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So forgive us our sins. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Change us from the inside out, so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, as your sons and daughters. Thank you, God, for this amazing love and grace you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. As we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. Or if you're taking one of the little individual cups from the tray, you can just take that back to your seat and peel it back to get to the bread and peel it back to get to the juice. And this is open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus, who are hungry for that grace, who are grateful for that love. It's open to you and to me. So let's celebrate and let's give him thanks.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through.
Thank you, God. Your word tells us what, it's a beautiful thing to be called children of God, and that is what we are. We are so grateful that you have adopted us into your family, ordinary, messed up people like us, and you call us your sons and your daughters. Thank you, God. once again for the grace that you've given us, for the presence and power of your Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Thank you. Thank you. Continue to move in us. Fill us with your love and grace so that as you send us out, we can share them with everyone you send us to, so we can be a people of love, a people of grace. You're so good to us, God. We are so grateful. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. Amen.